Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hockey News on VA podcast. I'm Jacob Stoller alongside Pat Williams as always. An early happy holidays to all the listeners at home listening. Pat, to you as well. As people are winding down for the holiday season and the NHL games are coming to a pause, we thought it'd be a good time to evaluate sort of where certain teams are at and whatnot and some of the players that are off to the World Juniors. But before we get to that quickly, Pat, any holiday plans on the horizon for yourself?
Yeah, no, it's traditionally kind of like a very hectic time because like this year, for example, they play right up to the 23rd. And then actually the Marlies and Belleville go on Boxing Day. So, and then teams always load up on games post, like, you know, right, going into the new year because it's a good attendance time, right? Like kids are done school or off from school and families, you know, so it's actually kind of a busy time. Yeah, you know, I'll rest in the summertime.
Makes sense. So let's get to the players that are off the World Juniors, top prospects that, you know, if you're a fan of your team's prospects and property, I'm absolutely sure you've heard of them. And if not, we'll be sure to tell you about them. So Cleveland defenseman David Yaracek is going to the World Juniors. Manitoba sending Chaz Lucius and Brad Lambert. Providence is sending Fabian Lazelle. Rochester sending Isaac Rosen and Yuri Kulich, and then Utica is sending Simon Nemec. So I think every single person that's listed was a first round pick, first of all. And so let's get that out of the way, right? Everyone there is a first round pick.
Yes. Yeah.
Everyone. So,
including second overall, Nemec. So,
exactly.
Yuracek went sixth. And I guess technically, if you, friend of the show, Shane Wright, if you add him, he went fourth, right? So he sort of counts like he was in Coachella Valley for a hot minute. So yeah, we'll throw him in there as well.
So let's go by the countries. So Czech Republic is getting Yuri Kulich and David Yaracek. I know that we talked about Kulich earlier in the year, still trekking along in Rochester. You've seen him more than me, I take it. Tell us about what you could expect from him at the tournament and sort of the season he's had so far.
Yeah, he's fit in really well, which, you know, it's been interesting because, like, you know, as a forward, somewhat, I don't want to say he's undersized, but he's not certainly, like, I don't think completely filled out yet. And he's gone in there and just had a really good introduction first 2 months or so at 18 years old. And that's a tough, there's not a lot of protection there, you know, as a, especially as a forward in some regards, coming in there. So as a 28th overall pick. Like you said, a little bit on the not small but slighter, I guess, side I describe him as, but he's producing, right? Like, you know, Rochester's kind of a fun team in general. Like, they play an up-tempo style, and I think that that fits him well, and he walked into a good situation in that regard. So I like a lot of what he's shown so far.
16 points in 24 games for Kulich. Then the other guy they're getting is David Yaracek. Given the data that I have from Instat Hockey, I can tell you that he's third in game score for under 23 defensemen with a 0.85 game score per game. Yaracek, as we said last episode, stud defender. Would have to think he's going to be a big-time player, and probably, if you were coining favorites heading to the tournament, someone that will probably be on a first-ballot All-Star if all goes well.
Yeah, I would agree. He's handling the AHL quite well. I mean, you know, there are nights when he looks 18 years old sometimes, right? And sure, like, you know, that there's those mistakes that are going to crop up for any young defenseman, you know, just basic things of when do you press the play, when do you not. But we spoke about him last week. Great marks in Cleveland right now from the coaching staff, and I agree with you. I think he should dominate at that tournament. I think anything less than that, I'd be really surprised.
18 points in 18 games for Yaracek. Again, he's 19 years old, putting up those numbers as a defenseman. Just quickly on him, is he someone you could see with a strong tournament going back up to Columbus afterwards? Or do you think this is just another step of the development plan? Is there anything he could do to be on Columbus's roster after?
I think, yeah, it depends. You know, obviously Columbus's season is unraveling and has unraveled. And so depending on what they want to do, if they start moving guys out, like, you know, I saw like Gavrikov, for example, might be moved out at some point. So, I if he doesn't kind of springboard right from World Junior to Columbus, I don't think it will be a whole lot long afterward, right? Like, right. So, especially if he goes there and really, you know, really dominates, which I think he will. So, you know, it'd be interesting, but I could totally see him. You know, they'll just bring him right up to Columbus, skip sending him back to Cleveland. And I don't think that would be the worst move for him at all. Like, I think, you know, he's handling the AHL really well. I've been just impressed, right? Almost from the get-go with him.
And it's worth noting that he's playing, according to Instat, over 23 minutes a night. That's no small feat as an 18-year-old. And I think it's – we've talked about this quite a lot on the show about players after being drafted in the first round, European guys being able to go to the AHL and start that process. When you're dominating at that level at this stage, it's a pretty good indicator that you won't be there for very long. Next team we will get to is the USA, and they will be getting Chaz Lucius. Lucius is a guy that I've seen a decent amount this year. I actually think I've seen almost every single one of his games before he was injured. And it's been a bit of a tough go for him. And, you know, as to be expected in some situations, which is funny because he started the year out in the first weekend. I actually thought the games, he was probably Manitoba's best forward. I believe he had at least seven scoring chances through the weekend at even strength, some really strong results. And then he started to fade a little bit. And what's tough is, and Manitoba was a team where last year, Mark Morrison got this group of guys that were all, I don't want to say system guys, but really able to buy in, like players that were able to buy in. Not saying that Lucius isn't or Labrador isn't, but when you have first round picks that are going to get in the lineup off of merit, then a rotation happens. It discombobulates everything. I think Manitoba is trying to feel things out. And in turn, you know, Lucius, what's happening with him, I think, is he's having to, and this happens quite often with players, is learn how to score at the next level. You can be, you know, and in that first series when he was able to get to the slot, which was impressive, I guess what a guy like him would have to learn is, okay, not every single team will have the same defensive formation. Not every single team will have similar personnel that will collapse the D zone. Like, you have to be able to adapt and adjust. So that's kind of where I think his learning curve is at. But I think for his sake, it'll be really nice to see him have a tournament. He was injured in University of Minnesota last year. He hasn't played a lot of games over the last little bit. Dominating against his peers is probably the best course of action. And I would suspect he'll be back with the Moose afterwards. I don't think he'll be going back junior. Jack Rozovic, who had a much better first pro season than him, though, he would, you know, came back as well. And I remember Moose personnel saying how they just looked at it as a extension of his development and not necessarily a means to going to junior. Let's get to Finland, though. Another Moose prospect, Brad Lambert. I don't know if there's a player that needs a better tournament than him. He's really in need of some positive momentum, I would say.
Yeah, and you know, I try to always remember they're 18 years old, right? And you know, that this can be a great tournament for those, obviously those highly touted AHL players that have come into the AHL and it's maybe a little bit more than they're ready to handle. And so you go there and you slide back to the level to something where you're more familiar, more comfortable, where you're counted on to be one of the dominant players. It can just be a good confidence boost period. I think just a change of venue even, you know, and somewhat similar to Lucius Lambert, like one of the challenges for the Moose is they get so many of those back-to-back games against the same opponent.
Yeah.
So they can really learn you and key in on you pretty fast. You know, and it's everything they're doing is very current. So that's a challenge, I think, for any sort of prospect facing a schedule like that. Like you don't see Chicago this week and maybe don't see them for another, you know, 2 weeks, right? Like you're seeing them back-to-back nights. That's tough, right? Like, you know, I think for him, just get away from it. Go and, you know, be around players your own age, even like just even that off ice component, I think will be really good for him.
I said it before and I'll say it again. I think that Lambert certainly could end up in junior with Seattle after, which very well could be the good thing for him. And otherwise, Manitoba could say, you know what, you'll come back with us. We'll you know, hopefully get, depending on how it goes, you've gained some confidence and some momentum. We can carry it forward from there. 3 points in 14 games for Lambert, pointless in his last 11 games, definitely in need of some positive momentum. All right, so before we move on, let's get to our last team and then our last player here. So quickly, Sweden is going to be sending Sweden will be receiving, pardon me, Isaac Rosen from the Rochester Americans and also Fabian Lazell from Providence Bruins. Just quickly, Pat, two guys that are having tremendous seasons. Just tell us a bit about those guys and what we can expect from them at the World Juniors.
Yeah, both elite skill. Rosen, elite skating ability. Lysel, a lot of the same playmaking as well. And, you know, I've seen a lot of Providence this year and, you know, speaking with, you know, Ryan Mugenel and just that whole group there, really impressed by him. And very good head on his shoulders. And so they told me last week, you know, that one of the things they really want to see from him is now he's going to go there and he's going to be counted on to be the centerpiece in a lot of ways of that lineup. And that's what they project him to be down the road in Boston, right? So this is a really good opportunity for him. He's certainly a key part of the Providence lineup, but now he's the guy, right? So that's a good kind of pressure to take on, and they feel that he's ready for it. And then when he does come back, you know, certainly there's no rush for him. They're not Boston doesn't tend to rush players, period. So he can come back to Providence. They're hoping with even more confidence. And just Rosen, the same thing. Rosen, I think, is, you know, maybe not as far along. You know, he's 18. He's a year younger than Lysel. But like I said, a lot of that same elite skill. So very impressed. I think Sweden should definitely have another good entry this season or this tournament.
I don't know much about Slovakia's personnel, but I do know that Simon Nemec is an elite player. Another guy where it's, again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but another example, kind of like Jiříček, where it's elite player from, you know, the last year's draft coming in. Below, like, you know, not, I don't know if he's dominating as much as Jiříček is in Columbus, but Simon Nemec is having a very strong start and another guy that could be poised to have a very strong tournament.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know that there's the same talent around him in Utica that Jiříček has in Cleveland, at least sort of offensively. And I don't even know that you know, their games aren't the same to start with, other than that they're both very elite. But I've thought he's fit in really well in Utica. You know, he has Kevin Dineen there as his head coach. So a really good, high level coach to have guiding him there. And, you know, New Jersey's certainly taking their time with him. I mean, there could have definitely been a case to be made to bring him up to New Jersey and put him in that lineup. But, you know, they've really taken that patient approach. So I think for him, this is another good opportunity. Just you're kind of stacking different experiences, one on top of the other. You just had 2 months now in the AHL, go have a good tournament. Now, when you do come back to Utica in January, you're able to hit the second, you know, half of the season running. And, you know, that's a team that's going to be fighting for a playoff spot. And, you know, he'll be counted on to do a lot, both at this tournament and down the stretch for Utica as well.
Let's move on to our prospect of the week, and that is Justin Barron of the Laval Rocket and also the Montreal Canadiens organization. Off to a real strong start with Laval, 16 points in 25 games, 70 goals, so that's 7 goals in there as well. First-round pick of Colorado was traded at the deadline on the way to their cup run. One of those guys where I think Montreal is really trying to be patient, take their time with, and get the most out of him in these formative years. But certainly a player that, you know, if things shape out this way, could be on Montreal's blue line at some point this year for an extended period or not. What can you tell us about Justin Barron?
Yeah, I mean, there, you know, with him, there hasn't been a lot of positives in Laval this season. The team's had a really rough start. They've started to turn it around a little bit, but they're still, you know, there's a lot of nights that are still pretty rough for them. What I like about Barron, for one, is that he came through that first year or so rookie season in Colorado. So he had Greg Cronin as his head coach. You know, actually I spoke with Barron last month, and it was, you know, you bring up Greg Cronin to him and he kind of chuckles because Cronin is extremely, extremely meticulous, right? And like a lot of coaches now, sort of like a Ben Gurr almost of the West, he'll right. pick apart your game, you know, to the umpteenth degree. And, you know, I think for young players, that can be tough at first, but, you know, he really does set you up well. So when, he was obviously, you know, he went in that Lehkonen trade, you know, with Colorado. So a big, you know, Montreal's really counting on him to be something, right? So I think there is that incentive to really take a patient approach. He's, I think, kind of the like I said, one of the real bright spots in Laval, real kind of focal point of their blue line. So I really like what I've seen from him so far. And I like the fact that he's in a challenging environment, just in the sense that the team has struggled. And you really, I think, can see what a player is made of when they go through that. You know, it's one thing to be in a lineup where everything's going great and you don't have to do as much, but this is a different sort of challenge for him. And, it's a little bit of not a sink or swim situation, but it's something where there's not a ton of support around you. So you are sort of having to rise to the level. And I think he's done that so far.
Interesting how you mentioned that he's a piece that they are counting on to be, you know, a core figure for them. And I think that's certainly true. One more note about Justin Barron, 0.87 game score per game. That data is brought to you by Instat. And by my calculations, as of, you know, this morning, that's just a hair under Ville Heinola, who takes the lead with 0.88 game score per game. I should point out that Barron has 25 games played this year, Heinola 13. So even a large even in a large, you know, sample size, Barron is trucking along quite well. Let's move on to a quick little topic we want to touch on, and that is happening in the city I'm in right now, Manitoba's capital, with Arvid Holm and Oskari Salmanen. The Jets have sort of struggled a bit with the goaltending depth for a little bit. Mikael Burden was a stud for a little bit. Since then, there's been this sort of in-between middle ground. Eric Crombie emerged as a backup, then they lost him. Goaltending depth has been sort of a tough thing for Winnipeg. But it seems like, you know, brighter days are ahead after last year when the Moose were one of the best play-driving and defensive teams, and there was such a, you know, mild workload on their goalies. They had some of the worst goaltending league last year. But this year, it's quite the opposite. Arvid Holm went from being one of the worst goalies in the league last year to one of the best. Oskari Salmanen, he's also a good 1B per se, even though they're splitting the workload. What have you seen from that duo this year? And actually, first, let's go one by one. Sorry. Let's go by Salmanen, his first year in North America. What have you seen from him?
Well, you know, Salmanen, for, you know, the thing that really stands out with me is just what a workhorse he is. And now, like last year, he played 55 out of 60 games for his team in Finland.
That's insane.
I calculate it's over 92% workload, which is like absolutely unheard of. Like Martin,
it never happens.
In his peak, wasn't doing that with New Jersey.
Right.
So, there is that challenge now where you're used to playing that workload, and now you are now, and essentially you're a tandem. And I think he's handled it well. I mean, you know, I was speaking with him earlier, and it's a challenge. Like Finland's a very, very highly structured league. You know, it's a very, like, almost, you know, I've used this analogy before. It's like checkers or chess. And you know, the AHL is anything but that. The AHL is
Right. Drive
the net, scramble, you know, smack rebounds, you know, like, kind of, it's chaos at times. Right. And so for a goalie to manage that, I think is a big adjustment. I think goalies sometimes go through as much of an adjustment as any position coming over from Europe into this league. And I think he's handled it really well. Good size, 22 years old, works real closely there with Drew McIntyre, the goalie coach for the Moose, who's recently retired himself. So they have a very good relationship. I think they play off each other well, and been very impressed by Salmanen so far.
For Arvid Holm, last year was a tough year. I was on the beat for the Moose, and I saw it firsthand. Promising player. He had a very strong the COVID season. He was in the SHL, .914 save percentage, came over last year. And, you know, I'm not exaggerating when I say that he was one of the worst goalies in the league last year. It was tough. Like, there was a point where Evan Cormier, who is their third goalie, like, he's in the AHL now, but ECHL kind of guy, tweener there, he surpassed Holm on the depth chart. And that was really tough. Mm-hmm. And you could see it on, it was wearing on him a bit. And there was flashes where you saw, you know, maybe this guy could be a game breaker, and he's got a tremendous figure, 6'4", 213, lanky, but very composed in the way that he mans the crease. And this year, the .923 save percentage, he's one of the best goalies in the league right now. Like, and it's crazy to see. I think it's also a testament to people like myself that maybe say, oh, like, and I've said this before, where it's like, oh, you need to have a good goalie in the AHL to support the forwards and defensemen that are, like, you know, to go on a longer playoff run. Because I remember last year, I was like, Manitoba, they had a nucleus that seemed like they were going to run. I wondered why they were bone of your time with Burden and Holm. But goaltenders are the most important position. You got to put the most time in their development. And Arvid Holm's an interesting example of that. I'm sure Drew McIntyre, I'm sure Zinger, you know, the Moose GM, Craig Heisinger, I'm sure they had a belief in Arvid Holm because you could tell there was probably a lot of instances where they could have justified sending him to the E. Like, he really struggled last year. It was, and he was facing, like, I'm not even exaggerating. I think it was 15 shots a game. Like, the Moose were barely sacrificing anything. So really tough there, but to see him this year, it's very impressive, and certainly he's at a point now where I would say Holm is third on the depth chart, also by virtue of the fact that he was the one emergency recalled when Hellebuck was out on Tuesday evening. So interesting situation brewing in Manitoba, and definitely encouraging for them.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets are, you know, kind of a there's never, I think, really with Hellebuck's emergence a number of years ago, I don't think there's ever been a ton of pressure to have to internally develop another goalie, you know, so that they've kind of gone the free agent backup path. You know, you bring in Brassois a couple of years ago,
right?
Rittich, you know, so I don't think it's necessarily been a top priority. But if you can develop at least one or two of either Hart or Holm or Salmon, I mean, I think that's the ideal goal here. And I think that's kind of, I think they're just letting things play out. Like, there's not a lot of rush here. Mm-hmm. They're going to take their time, see, let those two battle it, you know, and see if in, you know, either next year, or even the year beyond, maybe that's, you know, one does sort of, you know, emerge as a clear front runner. But that has been, you know, because early on, you know, with the Jets, like they had a ton of success developing goalies. They brought in, you know, obviously Comrie was a pretty successful prospect, and then Hellebuyck. I mean, obviously, I mean, you expected him to be good, but wow, like,
he's all right.
Like, you take a fifth rounder, right? And you turn him into a Vezina contender every year. Like, I mean, that's the ideal, right? So,
prospect development,
they're in a good position.
And prospect development is just a bunch of lottery tickets. Buy as many as you can,
yeah.
And you know, in Bridgeport, they've got Corey Schneider, who's a great partner to people, and in other places like Bakersfield, called Calvin Pickard. That works too. But I think that if you have a situation where you have a guy like Salmon and Holm who are more than, but capable to be in the net and duke it out, that's the best you could hope for, really. Let's move on to, you know, an interesting development situation. We can't really pull many punches here, and that's in Vancouver, more specifically Abbotsford. They are our team of the week, the Abbotsford Canucks. Players that are prospects of the Vancouver Canucks. Sort of an interesting time for the organization, to say the least. While it's great for them that they have Abbotsford nearby, which, because they've been using them quite a bit, fans want to move, they've been getting quite a bit. They've got to have a shuttle from Abbotsford to Vancouver with the amount of transactions they've been logging there recently. Let's go through a couple guys that stick out to us and that are interesting to keep an eye on, Canucks fans. The first one is Danila Klimovic. One of the weirdest development paths you'll ever find. If you want to know how weird of a development path he took, just search up his HockeyDB. There's nothing before Abbotsford. There is nothing there. Because he was in the Belarus League, which, I mean, I didn't even know they had a professional league that was good enough to make a jump from. But last year, they resisted any urge to send him to the QMJHL. They insisted on keeping him with them. And you know, I'd say it's gone well for them, given how he's fared this year, about half a point a game to start out the year. Where is he treading? It's a good question. He's still only 19. I think this might be one of those situations where they would lean towards keeping him nearby as opposed to go to junior to sort of bypass any of those bad habits being developed. That's what I would think.
Yeah, I think that was a good move, right? Like, you know, obviously, so he's coming out of Belarus, and that's, you know, not a very high level European right. league. And
yeah,
there was obviously that raw talent there, but there it was very raw. And I think you want to get your hands on him as fast as possible. And if you send him to junior, you sacrifice a lot of that control. So I think that was the thinking last season with him, bringing him in as an 18-year-old, a very raw 18-year-old. I think for him, it's just going to be a little bit of a ways, you know, like, but I think if you take a patient approach with him, that's your best chance for success, because there's just a ton for him to learn, right? Like, he didn't have a ton of high level experience. And I think, you know, in some ways he's behind the eight ball, The other way, though, he's only 18 or 19. So I think they are taking the right approach with him. And but I think for that, for him, the jury still, you know, remains to be seen exactly what he might become.
Yeah, if we were evaluating his development in the court system, he'd be in a hearing. I don't even know if he'd be in a trial yet. This guy's so raw. The next guy I want to talk about is Vasily Podolkin. Really tough start in Vancouver. No goals in 16 games. Goes down to Abbotsford, 7 points in 11 games. Only fitting, I would think, that he'd be there in Abbotsford, especially with how things are going in Vancouver. Maybe not the best kind of environment and maybe the most susceptible to young guys at that stage that they're in. So definitely encouraging to see him playing the way he is. And I think that, you know, it's interesting. Last year, he played in 79 NHL games. Is this the season, Pat, of refined NHL players going to the A? Ty Smith, Podolkin, like the list goes on and on. Like I feel like that's like a recurring theme on the show. But anyways, without getting too much into that, he's in the A now. So I'm just curious what you would think as someone that's seen the league. Even if he's not scoring through 16 games, it's good to set him down there. But is that a little concerning given he played the full season last year with the team?
Depends how you look at it, right? Like, yeah, he had 14 goals last year and was in the lineup, but you know, sometimes the player's not necessarily a fully rounded player, right? Like the scoring there is, the offensive abilities are there, but the rest isn't always catch up yet, right? And I think this is what he can get going down to Abbotsford. He's you know, Lane Peterson, second in the league in goals, so he's part of a line there, top line with Peterson and Phil DiGiuseppe. So DiGiuseppe quietly kind of has almost 200 games of NHL experience. So there's a lot to learn there. You know, Jeremy Colleton, you know, young head coach who already has, you know, almost 4 years of NHL experience to work with. You know, maybe he was a little bit rushed last year, right? You know, and I think sometimes maybe that gets overlooked because you look on the surface, hey, 14 goals, 79 games as a rookie. Wow, pretty good. Pretty good first season, but the question is, was that maybe masking some other things in his game? We'll see. But you know, I think these assignments aren't permanent, right? Like if a player goes down there and quickly shows that, hey, they've figured out what they need to do, then, you know, it's a 45-minute ride up back to Vancouver. So nothing's permanent. It's not like when you send a player back to junior, that's, you know, a pretty permanent decision for the year. This is, you know, I mean, my gosh, you look at the transactions page, players up and down every day. So send him back, get him some ice time. You know, for you don't want a player, I think, you know, especially as that, you know, that, you know, you went from, you know, game 15 to game 16, all of a sudden now you've got no goals. And I don't care what anyone says, a young player, that's going to, you know, wear on them, you know, so go down there, get a little bit of success, you know, hit pause on the time in Vancouver and then come back when it's the right time.
Jack Rathbone's probably the most, well, maybe not now, lots been happening in Vancouver, but was at certainly one time a hot topic for that team and him not getting the lineup. But hey, he has not looked good in the NHL level. And, you know, in turn, he's back in the AHL, better in the press box. And I think a lot of people are forgetting that he is still a young player. I think it definitely, you know, it kind of, I think the vision gets tainted when you realize, like, I think coming out of college, maybe everyone gets very excited by the fact that they're coming out. Maybe there's this idea that they're this refined player for whatever reason. But now it's, you know, it's his third year with the organization. Rathbone is still in the AHL and 23 years old from Boston. I think people are just wanting to see it come to fruition. But I got to tell you, he has not looked good in Vancouver. And it's no shocker he's in Abbotsford now. But as that roster gets torn down, as the deadline approaches and trades are due to come, his goal should probably be to aim to get back up to the lineup and play when opportunities arise.
Yeah, that's usually a really good time for players in that kind of situation. There's tons of them, my gosh, are all across, you know, this level is guys who have one thing or another to work on. I mean, he's obviously very, especially at the AHL level, dominant power play quarterback type player. But, you know, you can't necessarily be a specialist at the NHL level. So,
nope.
Yeah, I think a lot will depend on what Vancouver does. If they really do, like you said, decide to tear it apart and start to strip the roster down, you know, you still have to play out the season, you know, so
yeah.
If you do lose, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, pieces of that Vancouver lineup, depending on where it goes. Yeah. You know, like, you know, the last month or month and a half, it's a great opportunity to step in the lineup with not necessarily a ton of pressure, at least not, you know, considering it's the NHL, there's always pressure, but you know, that could be a good window for him to really, you know, step in. So use this time now while you're in Abbotsford to work on rounding out your game. And then hopefully, you know, like if, you know, for Rathbone's sake, then if it does pan out that way, that, you know, he does, when he gets that opportunity, you're ready to jump into the lineup. And sometimes guys never come back. You know, that's the last time they ever see the AHL for another 10 years. So we'll see. But I think for him, that would be, you know, if I was him, if I was advising him, I think that would be the course of action for him.
Absolutely. And as someone, I saw the Jets Senators game from the press box Tuesday night, and, you know, Ville Heinola did not have the best game. What I thought watching there was, okay, seeing it at an NHL pace, seeing these things happen, and by that I mean below the hash marks and stuff, it's a different animal. The NHL, the AHL, those little details. Like, even if you quote unquote mastered or improve on it in the AHL, unless you're treading water in the NHL at it, you can't be regular. Can you win with that player? That's the key. And Rathbone will have to prove that. Otherwise, you know, it's on him in that regard. Well, for today's show, that's it. We're going to take a bit of a break for the holidays, but thank you to everyone for listening for the first, you know, couple of versions of this podcast. Really excited about how this has played out in the early stages. And I think that it's only get better as the season starts to really ramp up here. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas for my other friends out there, whatever you celebrate, happy holidays. And I celebrate Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah. And we'll see you in the new year.